All right, folks, welcome back to the Mount West Wire Football Podcast, driving the off-season bus along with you, Jeremy Moss, Matt Kennerly. We're going to make it, and we got some fun topics tonight. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it always gets a little fun when it gets a little stupid, right?
It's always stupid. Tonight, oh boy, you like our stupid upset picks? Well, you're in luck tonight. We made a change, because last time we recorded, we're like, oh, we'll talk about kind of our, they were going to be stupid early picks, but kind of, honestly, you know, as Matt, realistic picks that could happen, like, oh, Boise State's probably going to be pretty good. You know what I mean? Some those type of picks, like, oh, I think John Washington's the best running back. Mm-hmm. But then today, I'm like, let me go on Twitter. I'm like, hey, give me your best fiery take. And we got a lot of responses, so we're going to go with stupid picks this week.
And look, can we start out by giving props to everybody who responded? Because there are some insanely good hot takes in this bunch of predictions.
There are. There's quite a few. We'll get to. I already have my favorite one, which if you follow on Twitter, you already know which one that is. Well, maybe not, because I retweeted it, but it's usually you or me that does football tweets, so it's they'll figure it out. But we'll go through all those. We may mention kind of intersplice the returning production to kind of predict who might be good or not good. Mm-hmm. So I like that piece. Bill Connolly put it up. Basically, it's not just starters back, games played back, yards back, but he assigns a decimal point for like yards returning, passing, rushing. Basically, well, that's part of it.
So if you didn't read the article, first of all, you should go do that. It's over on SB Nation. Mm-hmm. And if you follow Bill Connolly, you know, at @SBN_BillC, you'll be able to find the link in his Twitter feed. But basically, when you're referring to the decimal points, what that means is that he correlates historically the things that matter the most from year to year. So if you return more of X category, you are more likely to take a step forward. Or conversely, if you return less of that, then you're more likely to take a step back. But we'll talk more about that when we get into the different teams.
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably do this probably next show when we do kind of our more serious, way too early, still stupid look ahead. So. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're going to do. We have all the responses on Twitter. Should we start with their responses or our kind of dumb picks? What do you think we should do? Go back and forth? What's your preference?
Let's give the people what they want. Let's talk about what the people think.
Exactly. Nobody cares about us, right? They do, but they took the time out of their day at midday to reply and tweet to us. Do you want to just go? Okay, I'll start with the worst one. Is that okay if I do that?
I started, maybe define what worst means to you.
Okay, not worst. Sorry, let me rephrase that. I asked for give us your hottest take, and there was one that was extremely lukewarm.
Okay, what's that?
Do you want to take a guess of which one you think that is? Do you have the whole list in front of
I'm
you?
I'm gonna guess it's @WyoPride saying Wyoming starts 1-0.
I'm sorry that I figured from.
Well, wait a second. Don't they open against Missouri?
Yeah, I think right because they play with Kyle Murray.
Okay, now that I was under the assumption without having the schedule in front of me right away that they were starting with an FBS team, so I was thinking, yeah, that would be pretty lukewarm. But now I'm kind of second guessing myself.
It is hosting Missouri,
which, by the way, kind of interesting that they have a postseason ban now.
The NCAA pulled a Jerry Tarkanian.
Oldie but a goodie.
Exactly. North Carolina makes like. I'll talk about that for a quick second here. Actually, it's not terrible. I apologize. I just wanted spicy fire, but that'd still be a good win. That would be amazing for Wyoming with Sean Chambers at quarterback and things like that. But I seen two different things on the Missouri thing really quick. We won't go into Missouri D, but the tutor cooperated. They took tests for them, did coursework. Because they admitted the wrongdoing, even though they cooperated, they get hit hard. UNC fought the whole way to say, nope, this is legit. We're keeping these grades. We say this is a legitimate class, so they get nothing. Mm-hmm. I think that's completely wrong.
Well, I saw the thing. I think it was Jason Kirk that put it out there that they gave the tutor the same show cause that they gave to Dave Bliss.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Who, really? if you don't remember.
Covered up murder!
He tried to cover up murder.
Murder and cheating.
Exact same thing.
Yeah, that's even on the weight scale of the blind judge, right? Don't think that's the same thing. Oh, jeez.
Not ideal.
No. It just tells me, like, seriously, don't talk to the NCAA. If you believe it, it's like the George Costanza. If you believe if you believe it hard enough, it's true.
Yeah.
So that's not terrible. I don't like the schedule. I just kind of felt saying, I want to know. I apologize. That's a good one. But I was expecting more because he replies on Twitter against us. I don't think he's our biggest fan. He might hate follow us, I think, possibly, because of some response to back and forth. But I will still say, it's okay, I'll just say this is not my favorite one. Is that a better way to put it?
Okay, so if you had to, right now, obviously we don't know a lot before spring ball and everything like that. If That's you had to fine. Put it on a scale of 1 to 100%, mm-hmm. what kind of chances would you give Wyoming of beating Missouri at home in August?
I get Missouri at home. Let me take a quick look, because we'll talk about the Caesar Palace national title odds really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, too. Part of it we don't know. Players are free to transfer because of the postseason ban.
Mm-hmm.
And people are talking, well, maybe, what's his name? Murray. Well, it's Murray, right? Or no, Trevor Lawrence, no, not Murray.
Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant. Where am I getting my names mixed up? Kelly Bryant. I said Murray. Apologies. He came from Clemson to go to Missouri. It's like, he doesn't care about a bowl game. He wants to go to the NFL. So why transfer at this point? What's the deal? So we don't know who's going to be on that team. Right now, just the point of emphasis or reference, Missouri is given 200, it doesn't matter now, but 200-1 odds to win the national title.
Mm-hmm.
That is, what, middle of the pack, I'd say. It's kind of a small print here. But then you go to Wyoming. Oh, I have to open the actual picture because the tweet doesn't cover it all. 5,000-1 if you're keeping track at home.
Would you put $1 on Wyoming to win the national title?
Can you put $1?
I'm assuming you can.
Here's why I would say yes. Honestly, Missouri at home with a new quarterback, stuff uncertainty, players probably leaving, there's a small chance they can win that game. Small chance. The rest of the non-conference is fine. At Texas State, Idaho, at Tulsa, those are all winnable. They get they got to play Boise, Utah State, but why not? I'd be basically throwing money away to give me the dollar, but sure, why not?
See, personally, I subscribe to the Kevin Malone philosophy of gambling against the odds, where if somebody gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything, you take it every time.
He's actually – should I get my photo with him? He's coming to FanX in Salt Lake City in April.
Yes.
Should I spend the money to get a photo with Kevin Malone?
Yes, you should.
Of The Office, if those who are wondering who that guy is, the accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, why not? He's like, always take the odds. What's one you'd go with? Like, let's go through one of the other ones you liked or didn't like.
Well, since we're talking about Wyoming, I saw someone else mention it, and I'm trying to scroll through, and I don't see it.
Is it
Sean Chambers? Sean Chambers takes the Mountain West by storm. That is submitted to us by Mountain West Hot Takes at MWC_hot_takes.
Question, was MWC Hot Takes taken? Does he need the he or she need the underscores?
I don't know.
That page is available. Just
wondering. So what do you think about that one?
He played reasonably well when he's under quarterback. However, it helps if Nico Evans, right? To take a ton of the pressure off.
It does. But when you take a step back and look at what, for instance, Xavier Valade, it was a true freshman last year. Obviously, Evans was the guy who handled the majority of the workload.
Mm-hmm.
But in spot duty, Valade wasn't bad, really. You know, he averaged a little over 5.5 yards per carry. He only scored 3 times, but he only carried the ball 71 times total. And when you look at the more advanced numbers, one thing that jumps out to me is that he was right there with Evans as far as highlight yards per opportunity. And in layman's terms, basically, every time he's getting to the second level, he's getting over 6 yards after the first 5 yards, which is not insignificant.
That's good.
So if, and obviously there's a lot to figure out in spring ball, you know, if they decide to go more with a running back by committee, or if they make someone like Valade or Javon Bigelow more the bell cow in the same way that they have in years past. But I think they have options back there to be able to take the pressure off of Chambers. But if Chambers can come back 100% healthy, mm-hmm. with whoever ends up in the backfield with him, I wouldn't bet against him.
Here's another thing to consider why that could be a good option there. They bring back, like, Austin Conway's coming back. A couple receivers are back. They do lose their tight end, which wasn't that big of a deal with Austin Ford and Tyree Mayfield. But mm-hmm. offensive line, they bring back 3 of the 5 starters from the final 2 deep, or from final depth chart. So
that's true.
That'd be helpful with the running game played as well as it did last year. More experience, especially when you consider 3 of those guys coming back were all freshmen and a junior. So it's like, well, I'd say it's so if he thinks he'll take him by storm, what do you think they mean by that? Like top 4 quarterback in the conference?
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about who's coming back in the conference, you know, the McMarion's gone,
mm-hmm.
Rippon's gone,
mm-hmm. Ganji's gone.
Ganji's gone. So, Jordan Love is probably the inside track as the best quarterback in the conference.
Not probably, he is.
He is.
Armani Rogers, maybe number two, maybe. Donald Hammond from Air Force, I like him a lot.
So maybe it wouldn't take that much for him to jump into that conversation.
True, because
So
as
I'm gonna say it's a hot take. I'm gonna agree with the screen name.
yeah.
I don't necessarily know exactly how stupid a take it is, though. I think it's a pretty fair take.
Yeah, I did ask for stupid early. Well, here's the exact tweet. Recording a stupid early look at 2019. Give us your hottest take. So I didn't ask for your stupidest take.
Oh, that's true.
So we just go with our stupid upset, stupid early pick. So let me go to the next one here. Let's see. Okay, should I go to my favorite one now? Just because I like it so much.
Yes, let's do it.
A good Twitter follow at fake coach mummy. Coach Rolovich, because at media days he likes to spice it up. He will bring boys to men with him to media day.
So why does that one jump out to you?
It's just hilarious, and because it's something Coach Rolovich would try to do. Remember, he tried to bring a monkey. He had a Britney Spears impersonator. He brought Elvis. This would step it up to a group. And honestly, what is boys to men doing nowadays? Not much.
Now, see, the only reason I would disagree is because I think it's more likely that he hires a Lady Gaga and a Bradley Cooper impersonator.
Ooh.
Because of course, Lady Gaga has her residency at the Park MGM, I believe.
Ooh, that's a good pull there.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they broke out both of those come next June.
Because had two, it's the senior theme that he's gone with so far. What about a here we go, a Wayne Newton impersonator? He's always there, right?
You know what I would really like to see, even though I feel like it's less likely?
Penn and Teller.
No, I mean I have seen them live, but that's no. What I really want to see is I want to see a Steven Tyler impersonator,
Ooh, okay.
because Aerosmith, of course, has their residency in Vegas as well.
That's true. That's not bad. There's some good picks if he's going to get one of those people to keep in theme. So that's a good one. Let's see. Let's go with these two. I'll go one more here. Actually, I'll take two and then let you hop back on. A couple
Okay.
of San Jose State options. Two people. Our buddy Brandon Blake, six wins, and then Jason Vander Twig, I want to say. He says bowl eligible.
So here's the thing about San Jose State.
They're not going to get bowl eligibility.
Well, I mean, it's going to depend on a couple of very significant questions. To me, and this is kind of a spoiler for the first hashtag column Tuesday
That's
coming
fine.
out next week, because I wrote about San Jose State, and what I wanted to focus on was the offense. Because I think whatever progress they're going to make next year, to me, their 2019 seems very reminiscent of what I thought the position UNLV was coming into this year, where, the defense had some question marks, but the offense had enough pieces in place to help them take a step forward, if not to bowl eligibility, then at least from, one win to, I don't know, four wins in the win column.
That's about right, because when you look at the returning production from that Bill Connolly piece, they're middle of the pack, 62%, 60, well, 63% offense, 62% defense. They do lose some good guys like Boogie Roberts and a couple others, but Josh Oliver, notably an offense tight end. But it depends what they're going to do at quarterback, running back. There's a lot of stuff there, but they show
Well, see,
like.
that's the thing. I think we know what they're going to do at quarterback. I'm pretty sure if he's healthy, Josh Love is going to be the guy.
I mean, like, can he get that much better? That's the
And
thing.
if he's healthy, Tyler Nevins is going to be the guy in the
I
backfield.
mean, he'll be a good back.
And if they're healthy, Bailey Gaither and Trey Walker are both going to be really good explosive downfield options.
I noticed a lot
To
of
me,
ifs
it's going
there.
to it's yeah, I mean, like I said, one of the big questions is health luck. Can they keep Love upright? Because when he was on the field, we'll talk more about it in future weeks, but he was not bad in a lot of ways that you wouldn't expect a Spartans quarterback to be. It was just they didn't have all of their number one guys on the field at the same time, pretty much all season long, because Love was out for 2 or 3 weeks throughout the year.
Until Aaron
Nevins missed a
played.
few weeks in September. Gaither was gone by the end of September. And if all of those guys are healthy and playing at a high level, then this is an offense that, if it comes together, can keep them in games in the way that we saw them do a few times last year. Obviously they lost the game to UC Davis, but they did score 38 points in that game. And, they did score 41 against Hawaii, and they did beat UNLV last year. So it's not like it's impossible.
So do you think that, because here's our non-conference slate really quick. They host Northern Colorado, which should be a win. Hosting Tulsa, probably, I'll say no. Going to Arkansas, not that Arkansas is anything good, but they're not going to win that. And Army's probably a top 25 team or close to it. So that might, probably one win in non-conference play?
I would say most likely. I mean, Tulsa, who really knows, because they kind of bottomed out in the last couple of years.
So yeah, maybe two at most, but then they got the West Division, which is still kind of weaker a little bit. At least there's more competitive games. I would say depending on what UNLV can do with Rodgers coming back healthy, they have to replace Lexington Thomas, replace a couple players. San Diego State, they're all going to be good. Fresno will be fine, still better. It's still like the games in Nevada could be maybe a winnable game, but it's going to be tough. It depends. I forget who they play in the mountainside right now, but getting to six wins will take a lot for them. That's probably their best case scenario by far.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that it is definitely a hot take, but again, I think the offense, however it comes together, is going to lead the way towards whatever progress they make in the win column.
We'll talk about our stupid stuff next week, or not stupid stuff, but actual predictions. If you had to put a percentage on them getting to six wins right now, what would it be?
Ooh, 3%.
3%. Wow. And if you're wondering, if you want to put odds for them to win the national title, they're dead last with some other teams like Liberty and Kent State.
I'm about to say they're tied.
10,000 to 1. Tied for last with a couple of teams. Like you said, they're 10,000 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's not impossible, but they're going to need to score an upset or two to get to six wins because. Northern Colorado, probably beatable. Tulsa, probably beatable. New Mexico, probably beatable. UNLV, who even knows? And, even though they get Boise State and Fresno State this year, they get them both at home. And it wasn't that long ago that they actually hung tough with Fresno State for at least a half.
Correct.
So, again, it's like it's a difference. It's the difference between playing one really good quarter or two really good quarters and playing a really good 60 minutes. That is kind of that big final step, which is also maybe the biggest question facing the team as they move forward.
That's true. Do you want to take our other combo San Jose State, New Mexico hot take?
That was an interesting one too. let's see who, that was from at Mamachi Doug. New Mexico at San Jose is the only FBS win for whatever team manages to win.
I think that's not a hot take. That's a smart take. Right?
I don't know. I mean, who do you think is more likely to be winless against FBS competition going into that matchup? Because obviously it hasn't been announced yet when that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, the dates haven't been announced. That's a part of that's tough to figure out at this moment.
But you figure at a minimum, they will have played Northern Colorado, Tulsa, Arkansas, because they don't play Army, San Jose State does, until October. So, I mean, and we just talked about the fact that they are likely to have a pretty fair chance against at least two of those opponents.
But again, FBS, though, remember, so Northern Colorado doesn't considered, so.
By contrast, New Mexico in non-conference play goes at Notre Dame.
Loss.
At Liberty.
Probably lost.
Well, I said they lost last year.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and it's a road game.
And home versus New Mexico State.
Probably lost.
So, I mean, if it were me right now, probably New Mexico, isn't it?
To win?
To be the one more likely to be winless against FBS competition.
I would have to agree because also consider new offensive coordinator. There's so much crap floating around the campus there. One of my hot takes will be one I had last year, which maybe it'll come true or not, but I gotta lean San Jose to win that game.
Yeah, man, I think you're right. And
kinda, also, kinda, oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, going back to what we were talking about earlier, as far as returning production, New Mexico is one of those teams that not only were they losing a lot to graduation, but let's not forget, two of their best defensive playmakers transferred in the offseason.
Right. And the returner, too.
Rashawn Epting's gone. Marcus Hayes is gone. It's not pretty. And especially on the defensive side of the ball, where they already struggled to make plays and play consistently.
That's kind.
They're only bringing back 43% of their returning production on that side of the ball. That's not good for a team that's trying to get out of the cellar.
So if San Jose State wins, it's a twofold question. Let's say we both pick San Jose State. Is that also their only FBS win?
No.
Okay. I kind of agree. I think they'll get if they're going to knock somebody off, I forget who they get home and road schedule because I don't have that in front of me. And the dates aren't set up, so it's hard to pick another. But I would say they would they'll get at least two wins, maybe more, but they'll get more than one. So, well, that's a pretty good take there, Doug. Appreciate it.
So why don't we talk a little bit about Utah State?
All right, go for it. What do you got?
Because, I mean, what was really interesting was that there were a lot of diverging hot takes about the Aggies. So on one hand, for instance, you have our good friend True Aggie, at One True Aggie, saying Utah State wins the whole shooting match in 2019 and they get to a New Year's Six Bowl. Whereas, you know, one of our other longtime followers, Alex Lunal, at Lunal Newport, Utah State will return to Earth now that they don't avoid San Diego State, Fresno State, and Nevada.
It's a possibility. The both, I can maybe see both a little bit because their schedule was pretty soft, missing the top teams out west. So that means they are going to, I should pull up their schedule here while we're doing that, but they play, that means, I don't know who they miss. I had to pull up their schedule. I should do it, but they make a good point. Alex says, because San Diego State, yeah, they dip down. They're going to be not as easy as beating San Jose State or Hawaii. Fresno State loses a ton, but they're still better than those teams. Nevada, we'll see, because they lose Tiganji, McLean Mannix. There's a couple of guys, Nephi Cephala to BYU. So I would say Nevada's slightly better than those teams, but it will be a tougher challenge for Utah State for sure.
Yeah, so out of the West this year, they miss UNLV, Hawaii, and San Jose State.
Oh.
But what I think both of these takes, and maybe the first one especially, overlooks is the fact that they have to go to LSU in non-conference play.
Yeah, so that's what do you mean? How do you consider that in?
I mean, LSU is going to be pretty good.
No. I mean, to be honest, that doesn't matter for a New Year's game or not. They could lose that and still be in the running, as we've seen.
Maybe. I guess it would depend on how they lose that game. Like if they get blown out, it might take them a long time to claw their way back into a potential top 25.
Sure, but they also guarantee right now, they will not get any votes in the preseason polls, either poll.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like zero. So if they lose, it's a Michigan State type game, 37-31, are they going to get a vote or two if they lose? And LSU's probably a top 8 team going into the next season.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let's go with okay, where do you fall in line? Will they go in between? Like, I think both are pretty extreme. I might lean more toward Alex. Here's the thing with the Utah State, the new coach. People could say what they want about Gary Anderson. I still say it was a lazy hire, but it may be like the Tedford of hires where it works out perfectly fine. The process I thought was flawed, but he's a guy who knows the area. They brought in a lot of good coaches, but they don't have much holdover from the prior staff at all. So, like, honestly, we don't know what their offense is going to be. We really don't know what their defense is going to be besides having guys like David Woodward, Tippa, a few other guys. They lose Tarver's not there anymore. They lose Darwin Thompson, running back gone, but they do have Gerald Bright there, Jordan Love clearly. Are they going to run the same offense to do what they did last year in steamroll teams? Or first off, why change it? There's a lot of question marks of what are they going to do on offense and defense.
Yeah, they're definitely losing a lot on the offensive side of the ball. You mentioned, well, pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
But just more to the point, like they're losing Thompson, their leading rusher. They're losing their top 4 receivers from last year. Oof. You know, Tarver, Jalen Green, Aaron Bonds, Dax Raymond. Those guys combined for about 140 catches. And while they do have some talent coming up that I think will do just fine, you know, like Jordan Nathan was pretty good in spots. Devin Tompkins was pretty good in spots. But they're going to need one or two of those guys to take on bigger roles. And like you said, are they going to run that same up-tempo attack? Are they going to choose to scale it back? Who really knows? I think it helps that they're bringing more back on defense. But I'm kind of tempted to split the difference between those two takes. Like, I think they'll take a small step back, but I don't know it's going to be that big, or maybe as big as the Aggies haters out there might think that it would be.
And also the offensive line loses quite a bit as well. And here's the thing too, which is deceiving. Like people, like what does this Bill Connolly stats mean? Returning production. A lot of it's based on, like you mentioned, all the yards and catches that are gone from the receiving group. Utah State's is 110th in offensive production back at 46%. They're about 104th overall. But here's the thing: when you look at some of the stuff like a defensive back passes defense correlation or linebacker stuff like that, linebackers tackles. Okay, they had a lot of guys who Jordan Love sat at halftime a lot of games, and so that's a counter argument. Like no stats perfect, even know how deep and how you divide it up to make it weighted equally for basically this scenario here. Every rushing yard and tackle is equal to the same, whether it's a first quarter, fourth quarter, starter, four string guy. So Utah State might be better than this returning numbers indicate, because they had so many games. Like these guys probably played what, 3 to 5 games total almost, or maybe let's say 3 to 4, because you know, most of them played say a quarter and a half a game essentially for the big leads, bringing guys in at halftime, building that depth. That's an area where these numbers here, what they're returning back. Yeah, this guy may have only had 15 tackles, but he played in basically 18 quarters. And so I think that could be a little deceiving. So I am leaning towards you. I don't think they're going to be as good as last year because a lot of unknowns. But here's the thing. You have the best quarterback in the conference. Gary Anderson comes in as a defensive coach. Like, who's really – like, Wyoming loses Hazleton as their D.C. Fresno has a really good defense there. Did they lose their D.C. or is he sticking around again? No, they lost O.C.
Yeah, Burt Watts is still there.
Yeah. So, like, does Gary Anderson really come in to be the second best defensive coach in the conference? Just about? Or third best? You know what I mean? Like, just because of what he's done and what he has coming back? And so I think, like, can they get double-digit wins? Maybe, but I don't think they're going to a New Year's Six game because of how much they lost, and they're not going to take teams by too much of the surprise of last year.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
So, but those are good ones. I would, yeah, I'd lean in between. And also, what does falling back to earth mean for Utah State? Because they had this year as their best year in a long time. They were god-awful before, terrible. But they've been actually like 8 to 10 wins. What does that mean? Just win 9 games? Utah State fans will probably be perfectly fine with replacing what they have and going 9-3.
If you listen to this and you would not be satisfied, let us know if you would be satisfied or dissatisfied with 9 wins in 2019.
Yeah.
By the way, since we've been talking about it every so often, the Aggies are 1,000-1 to win the national championship next year.
Would you take that?
Nah, I don't think so.
Got to beat LSU. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next one here. Let's go through. We've been kind of bouncing around. Here's another we didn't mention from Idaho Aggie, Michael Lemon 78 on Twitter. Utah State replaces nearly an entire coaching staff, we mentioned. NFL Cal running back, check. Tight end who I'm calling it right now. I'll call a stupid pick right now, even though it'll still technically be 2019. Dax Raymond will be the first player selected from the Mountain West in the NFL draft coming up.
Interesting.
Is that too controversial?
I don't think so. No. Okay.
4 receivers and still win 10 games and the MVP title. Whew. That's a blowtorch there, man. That's asking a lot.
That is asking a lot. And if you didn't, I'm trying to find the stat. Okay, so here's a I don't know if it's going to apply directly to Utah State, but it's something that more than a few teams in the conference are going to have to keep in mind with regards to returning production. The bottom 10 teams in last year's returning production, they saw their win total decrease by a combined 27 games.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
So they won 76 games in 2017, and they won 49 games in 2018. And one of those, there's one, if you can take a wild stab as to the one Mountain West team that was in that conversation.
Say that stat again.
So the bottom 10 teams in returning production last year, saw their win total decrease by about the 2.5 two and three quarters. No,
they brought, they brought a lot back. What am I saying? San Diego State.
No.
So maybe I'm misreading the stat. You're saying the teams that brought back the least amount of production.
Yes.
And they also decreased a win total as well.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I was thinking backwards. We lost all the talent. Oh, geez. This is terrible podcasting if I'm thinking out loud.
Do you want me to just tell you the answer?
Just tell me the answer. I'm floundering.
Okay, so four of the bottom 10 last year lost four more games. Navy,
Yeah.
Louisville, Central Michigan, and Colorado State.
Oh, that's it. Colorado State. Yeah, so.
And oh, by the way, the Rams are 125th again this
Oh,
year.
1-12, 1-11.
I mean, if you give this kind of thing credence like I do, it's kind of a grim sign.
Sorry, Rams fans. Sorry, Mike.
But if it makes any difference at all, Utah State isn't in that bottom 10, but they are in the triple digits as far as returning production overall, which, kind of lends a little bit of evidence, I think, to the conversation we've been having about how much of a backslide they might have. But in that conversation with the Rams this year, Fresno State, they're actually next to last. They're 129th in returning production, and Wyoming at 120th.
We'll see, right?
So basically, just what that means is historically, those teams are going to have an uphill climb to hang on to whatever gains they made last year.
But also, if you're a Wyoming or Fresno fan, take a step back and go in. Like, would you be okay if your team wins 9 games next year?
Yes.
So yeah, especially after that 1-1 season a couple years ago.
Yeah, and so that's why I think that Utah State fans, for the most part, if they took a step back but still won 9 games, I think that the majority of Aggies fans would be totally okay with
Yeah,
that.
because then Jordan Love will come back for another year, presumably, and then all bets are off, right?
Yeah.
Which leads me to this one. Jordan Love, Heisman Trophy candidate. False.
I mean, it can't go much worse than the Chucky Keaton Heisman candidacy, could it?
Don't know. Dark Horse Heisman. Well, I don't want to say anything out loud because that'd be rude. Because injuries, I don't want to wish on anybody. But he say does preface it by Dark Horse candidate by Jordan underscore Eck ECK.
So what would a Mountain West player or Mountain West quarterbacks, you're talking about Jordan Love, what would they feasibly have to do to get an invite to New York?
Oh, jeez. We've seen it with Alex Smith a long time ago, which was a top six rank in regular season, undefeated, gaudy stats. Was Derek Carr a finalist?
I don't think he was an official finalist. I know that he finished fifth.
Okay, I think they took four. And then Kellen Moore, was he a finalist in the Mountain West or in the WAC?
Oh man, I can't remember off the top of my head.
I want to say WAC. It'll take something special. Here's the first preface, undefeated season. So scratch off whoever you want to say for that. It would have to basically, let's say this. Take Cole McDonald's first half stat numbers from last year, double it, and go undefeated, and you got a fighting chance.
I'm just going to throw one number out there.
What's that?
50 touchdowns.
You think that'll get a Heisman finalist?
I think if Jordan Love throws 50 touchdowns, then or maybe just combines for 50 touchdowns running and throwing, which I don't know, I would give him a non-zero chance of doing that. Because how many touchdowns did he run for last year? I'm trying to look that up
I'm
real quick.
checking
Because
it.
he had 32 passing touchdowns. He had seven on the ground, so he had 39 combined touchdowns. Yeah, I mean 50. I think if he can get to 50 combined touchdowns and then run the table, he should definitely be in the mix for, if he doesn't get like the official invite like Derek Carr didn't, he should definitely
Top
finish in
five.
that same neighborhood, the top five. Yeah.
Okay, so Dwayne Haskins, really quick, Ohio State finalist, had 54 total touchdowns. 50
Yeah.
passing, 4 rushing, but he also Ohio State.
Yeah, so let's start there. 50 touchdowns, let's go.
right, so that okay, I'd see that. Will it be Jordan Love? I don't know. All right, do you have any other ones you want to go through? You that tickle your fancy there?
Okay, so this one's interesting. From at Corey W. Crow, UNLV will make a bowl. If they don't, Tony Sanchez is fired.
Whew. That's a good one because it's realistic because UNLV has a new athletic director and it's Sanchez not their hire. What year is Tony Sanchez going into? Five?
I believe so, yeah.
I would say that's a realistic option, but also a little hot takey as well, a little fiery.
That's true.
Because that's assuming UNLV is going to be good, which they maybe. I don't know. Obviously, if you have Armani Rodgers healthy and good to go, they're fine. Sanchez has not gone to a bowl game. He's entering year five, a record of 16-32. He was close to pass. Last year, he kind of gave him a pass because of the injury deal. But I think that's a realistic possibility, more so, not that he doesn't make a bowl game, because he's shown some improvement, like the four-win year in 2016. Should have been to bowl game 2017. Last year, injuries, and it was last year's a mess at the midway point. So, like, if you were to go 5-7 and still have the same AD, probably be safe. But with a new AD in town, I think a bowl game has to happen or he could be gone. That may not be the right choice, but I think that's a very realistic possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. That's definitely a hot take that UNLV is going to go bowling. I mean,
what's
I think,
hot? Yeah, well, never mind. That's a redundant question. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the upside, if you're a Rebels fan, is they are a lot closer to the upper end of returning production than they are to the lower end. You know, we talked about Wyoming, Colorado State being in the bottom 10. UNLV is in the top 40. And they're not really losing that much on either side of the ball. Like, obviously, they're losing their leading tackler in Dalton Baker, and they're losing Lexington Thomas, but they're bringing pretty much everybody back at the skill positions. I believe that they're only graduating Nathan Jacobson on the offensive line. So I don't want to say that there's a non-zero chance. I mean, I'm not going to say there's zero chance that they make a bowl, but I think that until they figure out how to play defense more consistently, I'm going to put it at a little less than 50-50 that they make a bowl.
I think it's possible. Also, they bring back basically every receiver plus Talon Collins, who's pretty good. So,
you know, to me, they're kind of like they're in that same boat as San Jose State, where the offense is going to have to lead the way.
Which I think
it will. And we saw a little bit of that before Rodgers got injured last year, and then the defense just could not keep them in games. Yeah. So I think if they're going to get to six wins, they're going to have to do it on the strength of their offense.
And Charles Williams is a pretty good back. Like, he's another year back from being healthy, and he played fairly well. Also to consider, their non-conference schedule is not overbearing. Southern Utah, Arkansas State at home. That should be a fairly winnable game, possibly. Arkansas State's good, but not amazing, and all things considered. Going to Northwestern, yes, they are the defending Big Ten West, whatever. They made the Big Ten title game, but I don't trust them. I saw them play Utah 10-7, worst game ever for a Pac-12 title. And they go to Vanderbilt, who lost Andy Lugwood to University of Utah, so maybe that's an upgrade for Vanderbilt. So that non-conference schedule is not daunting. Like, they could go 3-1, maybe.
If the offense clicks and the defense can keep up.
There's a big swing from 1-3 and I'd say they should get one win at least, maybe two. But I would say it's a toss up right now. I think I would lean more toward yes, them getting to a bowl game, finally breaking through. Because guessing injuries is kind of hard to do. It's like last year, who would have thought they got lose all those players, especially Rodgers, for half the season. All right. What else we got here?
Okay, so House of Hate at House of H8. Fresno State will be a top 20 program throughout the year.
Do you want to start, or do you want me to start with that one?
I don't know about that one. That is definitely a hot take.
First of all, if they're not going to start top 20, so you mark that off right away. Right?
Okay, so let's if we want to hedge that a little bit and say that they will work their way into the top 20 at some point, and they will stay there.
Okay. Who's your quarterback, Matt?
Right now, it's probably Jorge Reyna.
Okay.
But I imagine that there will be some competition in that regard, because there's a lot of promise behind him. Like, a lot of people in the know really like Hunter Rackett, who I believe is supposed to be he's either going to be a redshirt freshman or a sophomore. I don't have the roster at the top of my head. But there's a lot of people who like him. There's a lot of people who like Stephen Comstock. So, I mean, I think that Reyna showed enough to go into spring with the inside track to the starting job, but I don't think it's a given that the job is going to be his. I think he's going to have to step up and earn it, along with pretty much everybody else, that's a pass catcher, because the Fresno State's losing pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm. Keyshawn Johnson gone. You lose, what, Jeff Allison, linebacker, reigning player of the year.
They're losing a lot. But you know what? If they are a top 20 team, just like give Jeff Tepper a lifetime contract next year.
Give him a $10 million bonus for going to a bowl game. I don't know. Give him this outrageous bonus structure he has.
It's just like they're losing so much on both sides of the ball that it's, you know, kind of like we're talking about with Utah State. I think both of these teams are in the same boat where I don't think that getting to 12 wins, I don't think that being a top 20 program is sustainable, at least for this year.
Do you think they'll?
But I would be very disappointed if they won fewer than 8 games. And I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they were able to claw their way to another division title.
Will they beat USC week one?
See, if you had asked me that 2 weeks ago, I would have felt a lot better about it than I do now because of the fact that they were able to hire Graham Harrell away from North Texas. And I don't know, the last time we saw North Texas, Utah State was beating the crap out of them in the New Mexico Bowl. But he's put together top 40 offenses in Denton like the last 2 or 3 years. So maybe he doesn't have the name recognition of a Cliff Kingsbury, but I think that's a good landing spot for him. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he brings that offense together.
So you're telling me you'd have been more confident if Cliff Kingsbury was there instead?
No. I'm saying that in the interim, where neither Cliff Kingsbury or Graham Harrell were there, I would have felt a lot better about their chances. But I think Harrell's a good hire for the Trojans, and so I'm for now in at the end of January, I'm feeling a little less optimistic at the
I
moment.
guess if you can't get your number one Texas Tech guy, you go to your number two Texas Tech guy.
That's exactly right.
Graham Harrell. So, I because there's not covered schedule like USC. They have stuff like they weren't good last year. They won 5 games. They were mixing things up. Clay Helton's always in the hot seat because it's Clay Helton and not some crazy good name. But like they're not covered schedule. They could easily go 3-1 or 4-0. Getting Minnesota at home, like that should be a win again, I think. Sac State at New Mexico State. They're going to start off on the right track. Here's the thing: if they beat USC, that might be him a top 20 team just because he beat USC.
That's true.
So I think they will get some votes in a preseason poll, but not many. Because again, we haven't even mentioned Ronnie Rivers, who will be probably the best back in the conference up there. So it's I will say probably not, but I'll say this. I'll say at one point in the year they'll be top 20 at one point in the year. At least for 1 week.
All right, so I think we've run through all of them but one at
We
this point.
got two more. I'm looking at them
Oh,
right
we
now.
got two
Two
more.
more.
Okay, so which one do you want to go to first?
Nevada goes 10-2 and plays in a New Year's Six game from Kings. I'll do the whole thing for you, buddy. Chris Freeman sent you tweeted to us. King with a Z, FAN 916279. Is that his a locker combination at the local
I don't
Vasa
know.
or Gold's Gym? I'm gonna say no on that, but that's a bold take there. Very bold.
That might be the hottest take of them all.
More than Utah State?
More than you. Well, I mean, I think obviously Utah State finished on a higher note than Nevada did last year, and they finished higher in the standings.
More than Heisman, Dark Horse Heisman contender? I guess that could mean anything. Dark Horse Heisman contender. That's pretty wide open.
But Nevada nationally is going back to the returning production conversation again, they're middle of the pack as far as what they're bringing back on both sides of the ball. They're 66th overall. But they're bringing, I think, a little more back on offense than they are on defense. Obviously, they lose Ganji and they're losing McLean Mannix to transfer, but they've got Toa Taua coming back. They've got Devontae Lee coming back. That's a pretty strong 1-2 combination in the backfield. And other than Mannix, they're bringing everybody back in their receiving core. So I think if they can find enough playmakers on defense to be, middle of the pack again, because last year they ended up about 69th in defensive SP plus. If they can finish in that same range again and solve their quarterback competition, whether it's Christian Solano or someone else, I mean, I don't know that I would say 10-2, but they would definitely be in the mix to be very competitive again next year, as competitive as anybody in the West Division for sure.
Yeah, that one for me it hinges on who's going to throw the ball. That's the biggest thing because their non-conference schedule, they get Purdue at home, which we'll see. They did keep Brohm there, so it's a big deal. They get to Oregon, which probably be a loss because Herbert's back, but Oregon was kind of shaky a little bit last year. Weber stayed at home, which they can put a ball point, so that's not a gimme. And then going to UTEP, which should be a gimme. So if you're looking at two losses overall, they're probably looking at the Oregon game. Does Nevada play Boise this year?
They do
They
not.
skip Boise. So I'm
They
guessing.
get New Mexico, Utah State, and Wyoming out of the Mountain Division.
So if they're only going to get two losses, I'd probably put my money on Utah State or Fresno State if they're only going with two losses, plus Oregon.
Speaking of Nevada, I had my eye on, I think this is officially the last one among the people that responded. Another Nevada take from Forrest Sutherland at air underscore Forrest with two R's underscore one spelled out. Nevada loses to Weber State.
I will give that an 18, no, no, sorry, a 12% chance of happening.
So I'm assuming that you know a little bit more about Weber State as a Utah team than I do.
A little bit. They, yeah, they've been to the FCS playoffs past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
They nearly made it to, I want to say, the semis or title game. Lost to Eastern, no, James Madison a couple years ago, like in a shootout. Their coach, coaching Jay Hill, has been around like at University of Utah, BYU, a few different places in town.
Mm-hmm.
They could score points. That's the thing. They're probably not going to win that game, but they'll put a scare into Nevada for sure. Like they've been one of, like, they play in the Big Sky, which is the best conference in FCS. Have been in the playoffs, I think, two straight years, mm-hmm. and advanced in the playoffs past couple of years. So not a gimme, but it should be a win. But I would say like a 12% chance Nevada could lose that one.
All right.
One last quick one, which we did have. It's not a hot take. It's who is it? What's his name here? Number One Fever.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State's recruiting class will continue to be fire emojis.
That's a cold take, man. Everybody knows that.
I know. Top 50 class, number one in G5. I'm like, that's fine. That's a continue the success, right?
Sure.
We spent a lot of time on these. Are we going to have time for ours really quick?
We can do a couple. Like, I don't think I wrote mine down, but I have a couple in mind.
You did not. I'll start with one of mine. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's go for it.
I'll go with my hottest one. I'll go one that'll be intriguing that nobody's going to think of except for maybe our buddy Justin Michael.
Okay.
Colorado State has a new transfer wide receiver.
Okay.
Nate Craig Myers. Do you know that name at all?
I know that he transferred from Auburn.
He was a top five at a position nationally and the state of Florida. He's gonna have to miss the first couple of games because it's like college basketball now. So if you transfer at certain points instead of a full year, so he was able to redshirt, I think. So he's eligible to play next year. He'll probably come week three or something, maybe week four. But he will basically be what Preston Williams was this year. So, again, Nate Craig Myers will be the next big thing in Mountain West wide receiver.
Speaking of Colorado State receivers, I will see your Rams hot take with one of my own.
What do you got?
I think Warren Jackson is going to have a monster year.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, I mean, you basically laid out the same argument for Nate Craig Myers that I was going to make for Warren Jackson. Because, I mean, they're losing Williams. They're losing Olabisi Johnson. He's their number one guy coming back. And, you know, even though he only had 51 targets, only 32 catches last year, like the way that he's built and, like, just the playmaking ability that I have seen, you know, when I've seen the Rams play over the last couple of years, you know, his catch rate dropped a little bit last year from his freshman year. He was 75% as a freshman and 63% last year. But it would not surprise me at all if he were the guy to step up and just get a ton of targets from whoever ends up under center for Colorado State.
And actually, it's Colin Hill, right? Is that officially right?
Wouldn't it be I'm assuming he has the inside track. I'm assuming, again, that that's probably going to be a competition of some kind.
Yeah, great. Coach Bobo, quarterback competition. Love it.
But I just think that he's going to be the guy that's going to get a lot of work. And with that in mind, you know, we're talking about a conference that's losing more at wide receiver than you might think, because Preston Williams is gone, Keyshawn Johnson's gone, John Ursua is gone, Sean Monster is gone, Tarver's gone, Josh Oliver's gone.
Raymond's gone. McClay Mannix is gone.
Like there's opportunities for someone like Warren Jackson to take a huge leap forward in production and be a first team all conference performer.
Can I make a take that you're going to make that you don't know yet?
Okay.
Your team to predict fewer wins to get a lot of wins will be Colorado State.
No, I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
We'll see.
I'm just saying there's a handful of players that I'm really optimistic about their chances to take a big step forward. Warren Jackson is definitely one of them.
Okay. All right, let me go with another one really quick. This will be super quick. Bob Davie, for real, this time will get fired in season.
You think so?
I think it's going to happen. It has to. They're just a mess. And he's not doing anything but negative things to that program. And there's other stuff going on behind the scenes. If you just look at NM Fishbowl, a lot of stuff going on. Though my only caveat, which I will put an asterisk, is because they don't have money to pay him to buy him out. But I'll say this. My hot take is he gets fired midseason. Guaranteed he will not be on the sideline in 2020.
All right.
What's your next one?
Okay, I'm gonna throw a really spicy one out there. Ooh. Hawaii's gonna win 10 games this year.
Ooh, 10?
I mean, just off the top of my head.
They play 13 games, so like I mentioned that just because.
I mean, there's a couple of gigantic question marks that they'll have to solve. One is their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, whoever ends up under center is going to need to figure out how to be more consistent. And they're going to need to figure out how to get to at least below average on defense, because there was a huge disparity in what they did on both sides of the ball. They ended up right around the national average on offensive S&P plus, but they were 119th on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't even think they need to get to the national average in order to make some serious hay, because they get four of their five non-conference games at home. The only trip they have to make in September is to Husky Stadium to face Washington.
Is that their closest road trip, possibly?
Let's see. This year they go to Washington, at Nevada, at New Mexico, at UNLV.
Yeah, that would be.
At Boise State.
So, yeah, I think that's mileage-wise, Seattle will be the closest road trip.
But I think that if they can get it together in the same way that they did in the first half of last year, and if the defense can figure out a way to keep up a little bit better as the year wears on, this is absolutely a team that could take another step forward.
So if you're saying 10-3, I'm assuming lost at Washington, at Boise, at San Diego State? Or no, San Diego State at home?
I would say either that or Fresno State.
Okay. Also, really quick, if you weren't keeping track and counting those games, that's only five road games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty nice schedule there.
I mean, if we're looking for a way to compare it, like think about last year's Utah State team, where mm-hmm. they put up a ton of points and they just blitzed people week in and week out. And maybe the schedule wasn't that impressive, but you know they kept winning. And I think that 2019 could very easily shape up as being very similar for the Warriors this year.
Let's stick with the Hawaii theme. I said they'll start off 2-0.
All right.
Is that spicy, beating Arizona and Oregon State?
Well, I mean, Arizona's kind of a mess, isn't it?
They still got Khalil Tate, though, so anything could happen.
I mean, Khalil Tate is not Khalil Tate anymore.
I know.
I don't think. I mean, is he? I don't know.
Kevin Sumlin's a pretty good coach, right? Year two, he'll get stuff going.
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, jeez, man. Fine. I'll say this. With your down talking to that, I'm probably wrong.
No. I'm saying, like, they could definitely beat Arizona. I mean, Arizona might be fine, but I don't think they're going to be a Pac-12 contender or anything like that.
So I'm assuming you wouldn't be surprised if they're 2-0.
I would not be surprised.
Okay. I need that's a lukewarm take by me. What else you got? Do you have anything else you want to run through really quick?
You know who we haven't really talked about yet?
Boise State at all?
We haven't really talked about yes, that's true.
I was just wondering the first thing that came to my mind, apparently.
Air Force, though.
Oh, should I go to mine, or do you have one?
Well, why don't we do yours first?
Oh, 10-win Air Force season.
10 wins. That is spicy.
I put them, in which we'll talk next week, and our preseason stupid early prediction, just January, I put them third.
Very interesting.
Here's the thing. They play Colgate, going to win. At Colorado, going to win. Going to Navy, not very good. Should have win. Should have get the Commander-in-Chief trophy. Army's really good. My main reason, I loved when Donald Hammond III was playing and healthy, he was – I already know I did my all-time Air Force team. He'd be in the stratosphere of like Tim Jefferson type of player.
Mm-hmm.
He moved the ball. They look so much better when he played. And that's why I think they will be that good, because of him. And they return – fullback to return a lot of running back talent too, I believe. So I think with who they have coming back, Troy Calhoun's a good coach. I think they're going to go win 10 games.
Now I'm trying to think, because I had a take in mind, and then I thought of a better one.
And?
Curtis Weaver, because we mentioned Boise State.
Okay.
I think he can get to 15 sacks this year.
What did he have last year?
He had 9.5 last year.
Okay. That's pretty good. 15's a lot. leading the.
I wish I knew off the top of my head what the conference record was.
I could find out probably really quick. Tippa had 10.5 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So 15 would be, just really quick, the past couple of years you had 11, and Curtis Weaver had 11 as a freshman, so it's not too far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it'd be Jerry Hughes back in the day.
Probably is, yeah.
Kamela Carrera had 12 in 2014. Mm-hmm. 12. Shaquille Barrett had 12 in 2013 from CSU. Just going through CFB stats really quick. Shaquille Barrett, Jerry Hughes had 11.5 in 2009. It might be Shaquille Barrett. That might be the record of 12.
Oh, okay.
So beating up three,
so he's just gonna go out there and break a record like it's no big deal.
Wouldn't be surprised me. Freshman 11 sacks. He had what? Would you say 9 last year?
Yeah, 9.5. Yeah,
9.5. So he already has 20 career sacks. Probably on pace to set the Mountain West record, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is, but that's up there. That's really good. 15 sacks. What was the national lead last year? Was it the guy from Louisiana Tech?
Think so, or it might have been Sutton Smith from Northern Illinois. No,
it was Jalen Ferguson, 17.5. Josh Allen of Kentucky, 17. Did Sutton Smith had 15.
All right.
That is, I'm trying to see if I can find a record real quick for sacks, but CFB reference or sports reference is failing me a little bit. Do you have one more you want to go with real quick while I try to find that, if I can? Or are you out?
Shoot, now I'm trying to think. You put me on the spot. I don't have anything else off the top of my head.
All right, we'll go through some later. I got two more here, I think. I like this one because the phrasing. This is my last one. Here we go. UNLV will win 8 games this year, tying the most of this century.
No, that is a hot take.
Because they had 8 back in 2000 when they won the Las Vegas Bowl. Hear me out. We've already talked about the Rebels for a minute. Assuming you've already mentioned who they have coming back on offense. Right. Defense has to be about, like you mentioned, average, like the Hawaii method, essentially. Mm-hmm. If they could be just about average, Armani Rogers takes another step forward, I think that's a possibility of 8 wins, which would be really, really good for them. And so I say I'm going to go 8 wins. Why not? Who cares? This is not my official prediction, but I like 8 wins because, again, they are 80% bringing back offense production. They're bringing back about half of their defense production, and they're 39th overall in total production returning, and that top 40 spot probably should give them a couple more wins.
All right.
What would you rate our hottest take we did, our hottest one? Was that my UNLV, or is it my Air Force one at 10 wins?
I mean, I think it's funny because, like, now you're the optimistic one on UNLV.
I know. I'm just saying.
Funny how that happens, right?
It happens. It happens all the time, remember? Yeah, whatever. It happens. It's good, right? It's fun. People, it's January. Who cares, right? Almost February. Well, actually, excuse me. By the time you hear this, it'll be February. And the winter vortex hopefully is gone from anywhere in the Midwest.
Fingers crossed, right?
I'm lucky. I was nice and warm at 42. I'm like, oh, it's actually pretty good compared to the last week of 25 to 30 degrees.
Right.
Which you're probably, what, 60, mid-50s?
I'm cool. I'm good.
There you go. Perfect. Anything else we need to add for this this particular off-the-cuff show, changing subjects last minute?
No, I think I'm all set.
It's a good one. So if you have any more hot takes that we missed or you hate or agree, let us know. MWCYR on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page. You can comment there if you want to say, hey, here's a hot take or whatever, or something you want to get off your chest, because I did put this out only a few hours before we decided to record. So just send them our way. iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, subscribe to the show those ways. And our next show will be basically a week from now. I think our deal is we're probably going to post these every Monday, I'm thinking, maybe Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the plan. We're going to go once a week plus basketball midweek. And next show will be our more serious but still stupid early 2019 order of finish projections.
All right.
All right, folks. We'll see you next time. And again, MWR.com. Read our stuff. Thank you. Bye.